In other words, does it partake of the nature of kibush, and that's why the eved is mine? Or do we say no, that it's not? It's actually a technical kinyan, which results in a chal Hashem. It would seem more mistaken to say the technical kinyan results in a chal Hashem, but there's no real kibush here. Where's the real kibush? Not the situation of it's only that it comes. It stems from kibush. That's the case. If that's the case, then Rashi is difficult, because it says hol v'chol kinyano b'kesef. I'll remain with a cash on this. Even though it's a technical kinyan. See, even though it's a technical kinyan, but what Rashi means is like this, that the Ovei Kochavim himself, as a Gavra of an Ovei Kochavim, only warrants a kinyan kesef. The only reason that he has Kinyan Chazaka is because of the fact that he has kibush, and once he has kibush, then already we have to. And Shlomo's question is a good question. His question is that if it's speaking by kibush milchama, according to Tosfos, then why does Gemara say lacha yish? It doesn't make any sense to say that you're going to require yish by kibush mochama. Kibush mochama is conquest. The conquest itself is a kinyan. Who cares whether the guy's miyash or not? It's not like Geneva. It's not kinyan Geneva. It's definitely not kinyan Geneva. It doesn't require yish. So the only thing I can think of is that Taish will have to learn that once the Gemara says that where do you see the guy that the shroy can be kona? So they learn out from chazaka. So then the Gemara had to switch the case to kibush mochama. And then you don't need to say any more lacha yish according to Rava. That's all you have to say. The point is that why the Rambam mentions in the halacha, he mentions the status of avodah mishafarim as opposed to gerim. So the question is that avodah mishafarim really are nothing more than gerim. Because once he's not an eved anymore, so now is he Yisrael. According to what we said, our pshat of gerus, I think it fits in very nicely. In other words, what's the definition of a ger? A ger is a person that has a relationship to Kol Yisrael. Has a certain relationship to Kol Yisrael. Now, the relationship of a ger to Kol Yisrael is one in which a person decides to join the Kol. He wants to be a part of the Kol. Okay, that's the nature of a gerus. He's a sojourner. He wants to be part of the Kol. An Eved, on the other hand, is not someone that wants to join the Klal. It's somebody that was overpowered. that somebody the Klal has a certain relationship to. In terms of his definition, you see. So that's really his relationship to Klal Yisrael. Now the moment you free him, you can't change him. You can't convert him into a ger. You can't convert him into a ger. He's not. The status of the nature of the relationship to the klal can't change. The only thing you could do is you could mafkia the dinim of avdus. But insofar as he relates to the klal, the relationship to the klal is always that of evet. You see what I mean? In other words, the relationship to the klal always remains. There's two halachas in avdus. One halacha in avdus is insofar as his monetary situation is concerned, or his definition is concerned, in terms of avdus. But there's another halacha in avdus insofar as his relationship to the klal. Now you can't. Once the man's relationship to the klal has been established, you can't change it and start a new relationship. You're going to say that now he's not an eved anymore. So now he's saying, "Oh, hello, good morning. I want to join the klal Yisrael," and it's an impossibility. By definition, his relationship to the klal is because of his avdus. In other words, the relationship to the klal always has to remain in the gavra the same way. You can't establish a new relationship. You can't become a ger.
What about a goy?
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is like this: that there's a certain, insofar as joining the klal, you can join the klal in one of two ways. Either you can join the klal that you are a willful adjunct to the klal. You accept. You want to be with the klal. Identify with the klal. Essentially, you want to identify with the klal. So that's the and you want to be with the klal. You want to accept the mitzvah satera, the klal. So if you, that's one way. That's a ger. That means a ger. That's the definition of a ger. A ger is defined by the nature of of his relationship, of the relationship that he has established to the klal. You see, that's how you define a ger. In heaven, he also has a relationship to the klal, but it's a different kind of a relationship. It's a relationship where he's defined as a servant of the klal, of an individual in the klal. It's a different definition. It's because he serves someone in the klal. That's the definition of an eved. Okay. So what I'm saying is that the definition of a person's relationship to the klal has to be at the point of inception of the relationship. In other words, how he established the relationship. You can't become when you mashacher an eved, you can't say goodbye. I'm not an eved anymore. Hello, I'm a ger. I want to become a part of this klal. It doesn't. It's impossible. He's already defined his relation. His kedushas Yisrael has been defined already. So he always remains an eved meshucher. He always remains an eved meshucher. So an eved meshucher has a separate chaleshem, a separate definition.
I would have a half a minute. That'd be.
Yeah, it's still a problem because the Rambam in Surah Bia Yudayz is mechayev another tefillah when the eved is meshucher. As a matter of fact, he says. So you see it requires another tefillah. In other words, what we're saying is that the relationship to the klal is defined by its inception, even though later he becomes a Yisrael Gomer and he's high on all the mitzvahs, but still the way he relates to the way he became a part of the klal is through avdus. That the nature of his becoming a part of the klal always remains. We don't have Taisus written now. Taisus written learns the kinyan is a kinyan zela. He says before we're on top. Let Pishkan the kind of soul the alphas minik havachom the kind of besefer. Myri, Abba b'chazaka shegoz lo b'koach mechavero miyema lon dekani lei. Gonzev et shenishba shelokhar shelo b'koach b'chazaka miyisrael. Min lo lon dekani lei lamaisa yodov. See? He holds it's gezel. It's actually gezel. So he's, therefore he requires yish. And he says, so you see from this that if a guy steals from a guy come along and they take something from a Jew and a Jew's miyayish and then another Jew buys it so it belongs to the next Jew. Alright? In other words, what he's saying is like this. What he's saying is, why is Hamafka Avdo Yatzalacheris and doesn't require Get Shichur? Because he's saying that the moment I don't have any din momentous in the Eved, so he ceases to be an Eved. Which means to say that his definition of an Eved, we said that why does the man's Maisedayim belong to me? Because he's defined as an Eved. He has definition of an Eved. I created a definition of an Eved in the Gavra. It's halacha in the gavra. The gavra becomes an eved. So if it's halacha that the gavra becomes an eved, that's the definition. So, but I could say like this. Now there's a problem. Problem is when I don't have any more kinyan moment in the eved. Okay, there's a kinyan moment that I have in the eved as well. So if I don't have any more kinyan, if the momentus is not there anymore, okay. So the question is, is he still defined as my eved? Is he still defined as my eved? So it's a question. Some say that if I'm mafkia the mominus, that you actually can really see what's the problem really? What's the problem of hamafka avdo is yetzalacheres or not really? See, you can't say the question of hamafka avdo yetzalacheres is a question of whether or not there's the mominus is separate. Because you have to say they both hold it as shem evet. They both have to hold the Hashem Eved. Because you see, they both require a Get Shichur. There's no concept of Get Shichur otherwise. The question is that if the Mominus stems from the Avdus, can the Mominus be isolated, in fact? See, can I, in fact, isolate the Mominus? The Din Mominus Shabbat. In other words, can I be Mafker? It's true that the Mominus stems from a definition, a Chal Hashem Eved, but the question is, in Dina Mominus, can I isolate that as a separate entity? You see? So I could say that if I say can isolate it as a separate, two problems. One problem is, can I isolate it as a separate entity? That's one problem. And secondly, if I do, and I'm machia my mamon, so then the question is, does he still retain his definition as an eved?
So then,
I can say inherently that once there's no din mamonis, once the din mamonis is gone, so the whole definition is dissolved. There's no definition of an eved without din mamonis. Or do I say no, that it's the chal Hashem eved remains intact, and the fact is that since it's din mamonis that I have, so I could be mafke my schusim. I have schusim moment, in fact, in the eved. They are whatever you're going to say, but they're defined as schusim moment. They stem from his essence, but they're still schusim moment. So since I'm mafkir, so I lose my schusim moment, but the definition of the eved, the essence, still remains. Question is whether I can have an essence of an eved without actually having schusim moment. That's really the question. All right? So if I say I'm mafkir avdo is yotze l'cheiros, so what I'm saying is that there's two ways to remove the Shem Eved. One way is a direct way to get Shechra, and the other way is simply that the definition dissolves, it falls apart, disintegrates. Because what happens is that there is Schus HaMomen, I can mafke my Schus HaMomen, now there's no definition of Eved anymore, just dissolve. That's the question of a mafke of the Yassel Harris. The question is, in other words, whether you could define, whether the definition of Eved can stand when there's no practical implementation. Exactly. No. In other words, certain things, the definition is dependent upon a practical expression of the... in other words, avdus is a practical phenomenon. If it doesn't express itself practically, then there's no phenomena of avdus. It's disintegrated. An eved is always an eved of somebody. You can't just have an eved in general. Like a child of somebody. You can't have a child in general. A son. I mean, you can have a child in general. You can't have a son in general. Okay. So now the thing is like this: it's this person's eved, and Allah, and what did he do? And he's miyayish, so it's hefker. So mamanasha, either he's a ben charon, or else if he's not a ben charon, so then what does it mean? So he still is eved. The only thing is that he lost his dinya mamanus in the eved, but he still is eved. But the other person can never require him. How could the sagar the shani get him? That's the question. Okay, good. Go further. Good question. Yep. The question is whether avdus can be construed as an abstract phenomena, or whether the definition of avdus demands practical implementation. Without, there is no concept of abstract avdus. That's the question. So the question is like this: Vayish b'menu shevi. So what does that teach you? That teaches you that you could become a Jew. Goyim could become a Jew. They become a Jew from Mysidan. King and Don. Means to say that when the Romans captured Jews, so it wasn't Gezel. It means that they actually had a king and Dom and the Jews of Eved. That's what the Pasuk says, Vayish B'men HaShevi. Right? So if that's the case, so why can't a guy, what if a guy captures a Jew? Now we have the king and Dom. So now I could sell him to the next Jew. So a Jew can own another Jew? The Pesach really doesn't learn as Kiddush Muhammad. That's only Pesach learns that way. That's Kiddush Muhammad.
That wouldn't change things anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything. Why? Because the Pesach really... You know, see, the thing is like this. The thing is that that's the crucial point. In other words, the Kinyan over here of the guy, Vayish Menu Shevi, even according to Pesach really, it's not King Kiddush Muhammad. But all kind of Kinyan is the King Geneva, King Zela, the King Thisa. So therefore, Vayish B'men HaShevi only means one thing, that there's a kinyan tfisa on the chefza. There's a type of kinyan on the chefza, kinyan tfisa on the chefza. But with now he can't sell a Jew to another Jew, because there is no chalos kinyan. You see, there is no chalos kinyan of one Jew over another Jew. And there's no tfisa of one Jew over another Jew. So therefore, there's nothing. Therefore, it's impossible. You know, in other words, in terms of chalos kinyan, there is no chalos kinyan of one Yisrael of another Yisrael. There's no such chalos.
There's
only a bit of
it.
That's it. The chesaron is mitzad the kona.
The
only way it could be kona, another Yisrael, is through the institution of a bit of it. Otherwise, there's no such chalos.
Can you explain to me according to the Torah?
According to Taisa Rid, the kinyan, this kinyan of the guy is nothing more than Gzela. The only question the Gemara is asking is where do you see that there's a kinyan Gzela on a Jew, that a guy could have a kinyan Gzela on a Jew? That's all. That's the only question. He says openly, Avo b'chazaka shegoz lo b'koach mechavero. Alright? That's the Taisa Rid. But the Taisa Rid paskins that if Goyim come along and they take the koach, they make a kinyan Gzela on the Yisrael's property, and then they sell it to another Yisrael, it does remain in the Rosh Hashanah second Yisrael. You see? Why? Because very simply, because since they have a king in Gneva, so therefore they are qualified Das Machna, so therefore they can be Machna to the Yisrael, and the Yisrael could be, there is a king in, there is a Chalos king on the Chosim for Yisrael. But by a Jew, if they steal a Jew, while there is a Chalos king in Gneva, and there is a Chalos king in Gneva by the, in the Jew, but there's no transference because the Kona can't effectuate a Chalos Kinyan in the other Yisrael. And Tfisa, there's no Tfisa of Yisrael in Yisrael. It's only Yish Ben Hashevi, he's only a guy. A guy has a Tfisa in Yisrael. But Yisrael can't have a Tfisa in another Yisrael. It's impossible. Okay. I would say that the Taisvis Rid learn like our Havanah. It's one entity. Okay? The coin of Taisvis Rid, we have to say differently. The Taisvis Rid and the Havamina learned like we learned, that it's one entity. The Shem Evid is one entity, and once there's a Shem Evid, then the moment is derived from that. Okay? But then you run into a big problem. Problem that he runs into with the Mamanasha. Alright? So if you're going to say Yetz Lacheris, say Yetz Lacheris. If there's not Yetz Lacheris, it's not going to second get it. So therefore, the Taisvis Rid says a whole different structure. The Avdus really consists of Ki and Dhamma. You own the man materially, that's Avdus. But now there's another phenomenon. When the Eved becomes a part of Klal Yisrael, because since he's owned by who? By a Jew, so now there's a question of halachic status. What's his halachic status insofar as the Jew is concerned? His status of Issa, his definition of Issa. So therefore, you see, there's another definition of Eved. There's an Eved in the realm of Isser, an Eved insofar as he's part of Klal Yisrael's relationship to Klal Yisrael, that's one type of Eved. Then there's an Eved insofar as money is concerned, insofar as the king and Agof is concerned. Right? So therefore you have two tracks, so to speak, side by side, the Dhamim and the Isser. So now, if, let's say for instance, the Eved is under the Shvoim, so who has the king and Dhamim here? The Shroi have the king and Dhamma. Okay? The Shroi have the king and Dhamma. Now I want to be Meshachar. Right? Now I want to be Meshachar. So what's the problem? I want to give a Get Shechar. Okay? So the Get Shechar really, what does a Get Shechar do? A Get Shechar is insofar as the Isser is concerned. That's why you have to have a get shichur. Because a get is always a halacha in the gavra, and the status of the gavra. That's mafkia the gavra from the status of Eved. So that's halacha in Isser. Okay? Yeah. Now the question is, how does the get shichur remove the king and dummy? Alright? Okay? The problem is Mamanashah. If my get to be chal, if you're going to tell me that my get shichur is restricted to Isser, so then how do I ordinarily free my Eved when I give him a get shichur? Where's the afkah of my kinyan dam? Hell, am I going to say that what? That the afkah of the kinyan Isser is itself back to afkah of the kinyan dam? So what do I care if somebody else has him? How am I going to say it's ipso facto off kof kinyan damim? If somebody else has them, it can't be effective. So then the whole get shouldn't be effective. How's the get effective? What kind of suspended animation is this? In other words, the get is effective, but now I can't be. Now I require that it's like now all I require is nothing happens in the damim by definition. Well, we're saying quintessence really is that the essence of the avdus, the actuality of the avdus, is the kinyan damim. The man is a worker. He's owned. He has to work. That's the actuality of the avdus. So therefore, the mandam of the mafka avdus yetzel acheres, what he maintains is the moment you don't have any actuality of shibud, There's no actuality of shibud. The shame ever is gone. The shame is just vanishes. It can't exist by itself. Whereas if I maintain that you tzorach gets yechur, what I'm maintaining is that the shame yisa can stand alone, even though it can never be expressed in any actuality of avdus. What we're saying now is the essence of the avdus is kinyan dam. So therefore, when you buy an eved from a guy, he has a kinyan dam, he transfers kinyan dam to you. Now there's a problem, however. Once he belongs to you, he can't belong to you and stay that way with the kinyan dam, because now there's a whole institution of issa that comes into play. So we have to satisfy the lachas of issa. So now what's the status? So he requires tefillah and kabbalas and mitzvahs in order to be have the status of iser of an eved kanani. So now a new institution of iser has come into the picture. That institution is a separate institution. Now if I hold not a machlokes, I hold machkav the yetzel v'cheres and not a machlokes like this. That can I have that institution? Can it exist alone without it being expressed in actual avdus, in actual kinyan damim? So one mandama holds, it doesn't matter. Once it came into existence, it exists by itself. The other mandama says, no, once the actuality of the avdus is removed, and there is no expression of shibud anymore, there's no kinyan damim anymore, the shame is nonsense. What shame? What shame? Shame ever to what? He's not an ever anymore. You see? Whereas the other one maintains, no, he can retain a shame ever with regard to Isser alone. Okay? That's the machlekes. Yeah? Now, what happens? Now let's understand. Now let's take the Tesfos Rib case where the get is suspended. So now what happens like this? Somebody else has the evet. Either Shroy or I sold it to somebody else. They have the evet. Now what do? Now I give a get shichra. Now what does my get shichra actually do now? Get shichra, remember, is only with regard to Issa. Because essentially get is Issa. That's the nature of get. So get shichra is with regard to Issa. So I give my get right now. So insofar as Issa is concerned, I'm mafkia my bilus from the gavra of the eved. But the only problem is that when I'm mafkia with of course a bilus of the shem iser, there has to of course about shem iser, the chalos of the of course a bilus of the shem iser is constituted in a shem ben chorin. Results in a shame ben chorin. That's the chalos. What is the chalos of my, of course, bilus of iser? A shame ben chorin. The fact that there's actual avdus is ma'ake the shame ben chorin. So really, the get is totally complete insofar as the haknos I get is concerned. It's 100%. I was makna my bilus, and that's it. The only thing is that the chalos ben chorin can't take place. Insofar as haknos is concerned, I'm finished. I have the kinyan iser in the evet. I gave the get, my kinyan iser is gone. But the only thing is that once my kinyan iser is gone, a status has to occur. What is the status? Ben Chorin. Ben Chorin doesn't make any sense when there's actually a kinyan damim and the man is an evet. So the shame Ben Chorin can't tolerate the kinyan damim. So it's ma'akev the shame ben chorin from being chal. But insofar as the actual kinyan is concerned, was I mafkia my kinyan iser? Yes, 100%. I was mafkia my kinyan iser. That's right. The Rav Arishon cannot grab him again. Why? Because since it was chal, of course, bilus was chal 100%. There's only one problem. There's a shame ben chorin. Can't be chal. You can't have a shame ben chorin in the government. So far as kinyan, he's finished with his adn. And so far as Shem Ben Chorin, it can't take place. Because Shem Ben Chorin, there's a chalas shame. See, unfortunately, in this situation, there's a chalas shame that results from, of course, avdus. It's not a removal of the shame evet. But there's no state in between a removal of the shame evet and a Shem Ben Chorin. And Shem Ben Chorin is a chalas shame just as much as a shame evet is a chalas shame. If Shem Ben Chorin wasn't a chalas shame, he'd have no problem because I removed the chalas shame avdus. So what? Now I'm finished. No problem. But since in order to be a Ben Chorin, you require a Chalashem Ben Chorin, and a Chalashem Ben Chorin is impossible as long as there is a Kinyan Damim, where he's actually in a state of Shibud, so therefore the first Adam is completely finished with him, the Chalashem Ben Chorin cannot take place. Insofar as Isser is concerned, what's matter him is not, of course, Shem Evet. What's matter him, the Bas Yisrael, is not, of course, Shem Evet. What's matter him, Bas Yisrael, is the Chalei Shem Ben Chorin. And the Chalei Shem Ben Chorin doesn't take place. There's no means, in short, there's no means between Evet and Ben Chorin, actually. So really, there's no means. But so that's what I would really say. There's no means between Eved and Ben Chorin. It's not like there's no neutral territory here. The Hafkos Eved and the Chaloshim Ben Chorin are contingent one upon the other. But as far as Kenyan is concerned, as long as I forfeit my din in the Eved, my rights in the Eved, my Kenyan Isser, as long as I forfeit my Kenyan Isser in the Eved, that's gone. Even though the Chaloshim Ben Chorin didn't take place. And even though there's no means between the two, you see. But the fact is, all I have to do is be machia my Kenyan Isser. My Kenyan Isser is gone. The Shem Ben Chorin can't take place. It's an anomaly. But there's a ma'akev in the Shem Ben Chorin. That's what it is. But ordinarily, by when I give a shtar shichra to an evet, so ordinarily, hafkos avdus implicitly means chaloshim ben chorin. That's what hafkos. There's no means between an evet. Since there is no means between evet avdus and chayrus, there's no either an evet or ben chorin, one or two. Like Ram says in the Mora, the people that imagine that there's a means between motion and non-motion. He says it's not really moving, but it's not finished to leave it. He says that's very good for the imagination, but it doesn't really, in reality, it doesn't work. There is no means between Avdus and Cheres. So since it gets you in Getshecher, what am I doing? I'm forfeiting my kinyan in the Eved. My kinyan Isser in the Eved, the Shem Eved, I'm forfeiting, which means to say, by forfeiture of the Shem Eved, that what is happening, I'm producing a Ben Chorin. So implicit in my Hafkos Kinyan Isser, is the production of a Shem Ben Chorin. Since that's the case, so it implicitly means a forfeiture of my Kinyan. It implicitly means a forfeiture of my Kinyan Domin in the Eved. It has to mean that. Since the Hafkos Shem Ben Chorin means it's Hafkos Shem Eved. Means a chalos shem ben chorin. That's what it means. There's no means between avdus and chayrus. So of course, shem eved is automatically a chalos shem ben chorin. So therefore, and chalos shem ben chorin is impossible as long as there's a kinyan damim. My giving the get, which transfers the man from a shem eved to a shem ben chorin, is ipso facto carries with it implicit forfeiture of my kinyan damim. It's implicit forfeiture of my kinyan damim. Has to be.
Just as a side, how does Chatzir?
Right. With regard to Chatzir Chazavani, he can't be both. He can't be both. And it's difficult, very difficult to say that he actually has two Shemos. That he has a Shem Ben Chorin and a Shem Eved, because the Tarpid is Sasri. So we said was that the halachic system dictates that you treat him in two different frameworks. But the actuality of the gavra is there's no such phenomenon.
What is
it?
How do you treat
it? It's a halachic phenomenon. It's not a natural. The essential point is that there's no means between avdus and chayrus, and simultaneously, the chalish ben chorin is a chalish shem. It's not just the removal of Hashem avdus. Ben chorin is a chalish shem, and the chalish shem as a chalish shem, it can't take place as long as there's actual there's a kinyan damim. But since there's no means between avdus and chayrus. You see, so therefore a get which is mafkia my avdus, which means it creates chayrus, has to implicitly mean a forfeiture of my kinyan damim. Has to mean that forfeiture. That's why it works out. So now by the shroy, what happens is like this: I own an evet. Along come the shroy taken away. I'm the yayish. Ordinarily, yayish would result in what? Would result in a shame in Ben Chorin, let's say, because a machkav does yetzal acheres, which means the moment there's no actuality of avdus. So then what happens? So he's free. Now, so far as I'm concerned, there's no more actuality of avdus besides miayish. So therefore, the shame Ben Chorin should be chal. It's just like a get. But the only thing is, the shame Ben Chorin can't be chal because there's an actuality of avdus insofar as somebody else is concerned. The question was when I held that a mafgav the yetzel acheres means it produces a shem ben chorin directly. So then there's a moment of cheres in the hands of the shroy. If, or let's say by get shechur, if I hold the get shechur actually produces a shem cheres, so what do I care that the shroy have him? But there's a moment of cheres. That was his question originally. That was Pesher's question. That if I hold that a mafgav the yetzel acheres is just like it's tantamount to giving it get shechur. So if I am mafkim adin and mominus, it means I'm creating a Shem Ben Chorin. And the moment the Shem Ben Chorin is chal, so now he's a free man, now the Shroi can't do anything to him. But now he's saying differently. Now he's saying the Shem Ben Chorin isn't really produced directly by the get. Actually, that's in the Havamina Maskana. In the Havamina, he learned that the Shem Ben Chorin is actually produced directly from the get. Now he says, no, the Shem Ben Chorin isn't produced directly from the get. And the get, all he does is he forfeits his Kinyan Issa. So he forfeits and removes the Shem Evet. He forfeits the Kinyan Issa. And the Shem Ben Chorin emerges automatically. However, it can't emerge in the case where he has with there's a Kinyan Damim. So now if somebody else, if he's under somebody else's Tfisa, and somebody else actually has a Kinyan Damim in him, so what does it help if I give him a get shichra? Wouldn't help. Because since I can't effectuate shichra directly, all I could do is mafkin my Kinyan Issa. And the Kinyan Damim which the others have in him prevents the Chalos Shem Ben Chorin. So he remains an Evet. Yeah, if he runs away from the Shvoi, now he's free. Why? Because what's the nature of the Kinyan that the Shvoi had in him? It's a Kinyan Geneva. It's a Kinyan Tfisa. It doesn't matter, but it's still the Kinyan's a Kinyan Geneva. Yish doesn't make it, doesn't remove the Kinyan Geneva. That's why you need another guy. The next guy it removes. That's the Lach of Shinyan Rishus. Because the first Kinyan remains a Tfisa of Geneva. The only thing is the Yish isn't Ma'akev the next Tfisa from there, but since the first Tfisa was Shaloi Rishus, so the first three is Geneva. So that's why the moment he runs away, he's free. Geneva is an illegitimate Kenyan. The fact that it's a Kenyan Be'issa, really, is what limits it to the state of the Tfisa. That limits the Kenyan. The fact that it's Issa prevents a permanent halos in the government. And it's limited to the situation. As long as I'm Toface, as long as the Shvoi are Toface, the Kenyan's there. But the moment the Shvoi release their Tfisa, it's gone. That's because it's the Isser. When it's not the Isser, there's a chalos in the gavra of the king. It's a different kind of king. It's a king of Tfisa, which means it's limited to the state of the Tfisa. The thing is, the Tfisa written in the Havamina Hell, that how do you look at a get chayrus? A get chayrus looked at like this. That the person, what the person does is he actually, the get creates chayrus. Harayatah ben Chorin. Directly creates Isser. It's a get shal Isser, which creates a Shem ben Chorin. So now, according to Maskana, of course, it doesn't work that way. What he's doing is like this. He's saying that there's a concept of Kinyan Issa which parallels a Kinyan Damim, really. You see? Which means to say, first of all, we have to understand that the Kinyan Issa in an Evet is not the same like Kinyan Issa in an Isha. Kinyan Issa in an Isha results in a certain situation with regard to a Maisa between me and the Isha. In the Evet, I don't have any rights in the Evet, so to speak. Even rights in terms of Isurim. But the halacha with regard to the Evet is, what it means is that the phenomena of Avdus, the institution of Avdus, which consists of an Adon and an Evet, that institution has halachic validity, has halachic importance, halachic status, because it results in the Evet being a part of Klal Yisrael, so far as Yichus is concerned. Now, what the Tesfis Rid is saying is that when I make him a Ben Chorin, it's not a halacha like I give him a shtar that says he's a Ben Chorin and he becomes a Ben Chorin. What it does is I simply forfeit my shame Adon. I forfeit my halachic status of Adon. Once I forfeit my halachic status of Adon, then he automatically becomes a Ben Chorin. However, if the Kinyan Damim is to somebody else, if he's under a Kinyan Damim, the Shem Ben Chorin cannot be valve. It's ma'akev in the chalos of the Shem Ben Chorin. Now, right. In a moment, is it also effectuated by the shtar? You see, is it also effectuated by the shtar, or is it just a separate forfeiture on the side? It's like it's like a yish. Is it like a yish, or no? Since the shtar is related to is mafkiah, the Avdus in Isser, and brings about the Nacharon, which implicitly means a forfeiture of the Dina Mominus. Is my Mominus being forfeited by the Shtar, or is it a separate, external, adjacent forfeiture? You see, in other words, my question is like this. Is a Shtar Shichra also a Shtar Mominus? Essentially, it's a Shtar Shichra, it's a Shtar Isser. But is it also a Shtar Mominus in the ordinary case? See, if the Kinyan Damim is owned by somebody else, so the reason why the shtar could be a good get, because essentially the shtar is Issa. But our question is, if I have Mominus in the Evet also, is the mominus mufka through the shtar also, he says. In other words, the shtar machir, it's if there is mominus there, but it's not essentially mominus, that's for sure. If it's essentially mominus, then you're stuck. Because then if the mominus belongs to somebody else, you can't have a shtar. The shtar is essentially yisur. But does the shtar function also as a mafkia of the mominus in a secondary manner?
Well,
not essentially.
It's independent of what the mominus.
It's independent, but it's also a vehicle. It's a vehicle also of transferring momen. You see?
Okay, so that's a question.
That's the question. That's a question. The only other point we took up was the point in where I have an eved and I sell him to a Yisrael, and the Yisrael, and I hold him mafka avdo is yoto lecheiros vein etzarch getcher. So can I sell my eved to another Jew, and he'll have the kinyan done in the eved? So there's two possibilities. You could say no, because since what's the theory of the man that holds a mafka avdos yotzal cheres and tzarach will get shichur? Because he holds once the physical shibur of the avdos is actually gone, there's no the shame of it doesn't make any sense. There's no shame of it. If that's the case, so if I forfeit my shibur, I give it to somebody else. So you could argue, you could say now, as far as I'm concerned, it's nonsense to say that he's my eved. Because what it means is there's no shibud with regard to me, so therefore it's half course, yatzal acheres. You see? Or you could say no.
What?
It could be that it's no good. Or you could say no. You could say that the only, it is good. The fact is that I don't have a kinyan dalan in the eved. But it doesn't matter. The point is, it's not the fact that it's not the. In other words, there's two aspects of Eved. There's the shame Eved, which depends upon the phenomenon of Avdus. But Eved is a relative. It means he's my Eved. He's an Eved of somebody. So the question is, maybe you'd say like this. You'd say that insofar as he's my Eved, with regard to Isser. You'll tell me he's not my Eved with regard to Mamain. So I'll say no. The reason why it's no good if he isn't an Eved, if the shame Eved with regard to Mamain is not there, then it's no good. You see, he can't be my Eved with regard to Isser when in fact he's not an Eved. When in fact the shame Isser cannot exist. If the institution of Avdus is gone, the shame Isser can't exist, right? However, if he is in fact an Eved to somebody else, so the Gavra really is an Eved. In other words, the reason why the Avdus of Isser can't exist is not because the Avdus of Isser has to be expressed in terms of Mominus. But the Avdus of Isser can't exist if the Gavra doesn't have actual Shibud. But if the Gavra has Shibud, so then the Avdus of Isser can exist with regard to somebody else. Or do we say no? That they must be identical. You can't have an Isser, Avdus of Isser with regard to me when there's no, with regard to me, I have no rights of Dina Mominus. Or as I know, that as long as the shame Avdus is there, as long as the Gavra, if the Gavra is not an Eved, if there's no actual Shibur in the Gavra, the shame Eved of Issa can't exist. But as long as there's a Shibur in the Gavra, the shame Issa of Eved can exist. You've got somebody else. So what's the first thing we took up? What's the first thing we took up was what? Let's taste it. That Meshicha, that according to the question that Tesis asks is that according to Rish Lakish, that where do you derive, Tesis question is Rashi, where do you derive Kesef from? According to Rabbi Yechanan, you derive Kesef from Hekdesh. So Tesis asks a question, according to Rish Lakish, that Meshicha is Midaraisa, so why doesn't he derive Kesef also from Hekdesh? That's Tesis Kashi. Right? So Tesis like this. No. And why don't we learn Meshicha by Hekdesh from Meshicha by Hekdesh? Right? Meshicha doesn't work by Hekdesh. So what is Taisa saying? It's Taisa like this. No. Meshicha by Hekdesh is not possible. Why? Because Kol Echad Isa, they get to the Rachman Isa. Alright? So first we have to understand what that means. What do you mean Kol Echad Isa, they get to the Rachman Isa? But the Gemara says in Chulin that it's L'Hashem Eretz Meloah. So Kol Echad Yisrael Begezer Rachmana Yisrael. Yeah, well, let's understand it. But Rishus Hekdesh is a Rishus. And Rishus is limited. Philosophically, it's nice to say L'Hashem Eretz Meloah. But actually, in Halacha, it's really a limited Rishus. So what's the pshat? No, pshat is like, so what's the answer? The answer is like this. It's not a philosophical. The answer is Hekdesh really involves two concepts. Hekdesh is a Rishus of Isser, and it's also a Rishus of Moment. Alright? What I mean by Rishus of Isser means that Hekdesh, anything belongs to Hekdesh, has a designation. By a regular Hedyot, there is no designation. If I own something, I own a pen, you're going to say this pen is designated for me. There's no designation. It's just Bibles of Moment. But with regard to Hekdesh, the object has a designation. So the Hekdesh has two concepts. It's a concept of Mammon and it's a concept of designation. That's a concept of Isser. So what the Gemara is saying is, and what Teishas is saying is, that the, insofar as Mashiach is concerned, is that Mashiach means that you have to demonstrate, undo the bilus of the other person. Mashiach doesn't work for just bilus. So you have to show that you're being Moshechit, that your Mashiach is a removal of the Rishus. By Hekdesh, you can't demonstrate that, because this, since it has an aspect of Issa, which means that it's designated to Migdash, wherever it stands, that designation still remains. Kol Echad Issa, right? Kol Echad Issa Begezer Rachmana Issa. You can't undo that designation. You can't undo a designation which is Issa. You can only undo a situation where there's a violence. But since Hekdesh involves the concept of designation, means the Chafetz is designated L'Gavoah. Any place where it is, that designation is proper. So you can't remove it. You can't demonstrate removal from the Rishus of Hegdash. That's what Teisa is saying. Kol Echad Issa Begezer Rachmana Issa is Gemara. What it means is that the designation takes place in the Chefza. And as long as L'Hashem Ha'aretz and Meloah, you can't demonstrate an undoing of that designation. Okay? But however, now let's go to the converse. What about by Hedyot? By Hedyot, what do we say? Now, what do we say by Hedyot? That we know Mashiach works. Now you want to learn Kesef from Hegdash. The Teish says no. The Teish says a quick svar. He says, Kiva Nefshim Mashiach lo yehei king and achet. That once Mashiach is possible, so no other king is possible. Why not? That's what Philly is. That in the commercial process, there are two components. One is giving the money, and the other one is taking the object. The taking the object is the culmination of the first process. The first process is really an introductory process. I give the money, and I take the object. So what Teish is saying is that wherever Mashiach is possible, you can't say Kesef is possible. In other words, wherever there's a kinyan that is a kinyan which expresses my bilus on the highest level, so I cannot have a kinyan that will express my bilus on the introductory level. It's a tata de sasri. If I can express my bilus on the higher level, then an expression of the bilus on the lower level it doesn't mean anything. It's not an expression of bilus. That's what it says. That whenever, even the efshim b'mashicha, lo yehi kin yinacha, no other thing is possible. But by Hegdish, there is no possibility of mashicha. So therefore, I'm expressing my bilus to the utmost. I must do a maisa which expresses my bilus to the utmost. And if it doesn't express my bilus to the utmost, it lacks a maisa kinyan. And since these are two processes, one is an introductory one, and one is the objective of it, the climax, the culmination. So I can't express it on the lower level. That's what I said. Okay. Now what's that?
Yeah.
Now the mere fact that I can express my bilus as a climax of the situation renders my expressing it at its inception an act which lacks bilus. Okay. Now Teisa like this. The ode in the other read. Now the reader's not a parrot. He says no. You learn that from the pasuk. Why? Because miyadam esechem mashiachom miyadam kachom bekesef. Miyadam kachom bechodes olam bechodes v'shneim lemeim zel zevul leker lemeimar delo mishtoi kroy eladavik kachom b'ha ol b'ha v'chein Yisrael din kein hayushavim. This is what is the pasuk telling you? The pasuk isn't telling you inclusively that there's a kinyan by a guy and a kinyan by a Jew. The pasuk is really more than that. The pasuk is telling you exclusively that there's a transactional unit between a Jew and a Jew, and a transactional unit between a Jew and a guy. That's really the crux, the main idea of the whole figure, is a transactional unit. That's the whole idea. So therefore, Teisa says, but the pasuk's telling you that each one is characterized differently. That the transactional unit has as its distinctive mark its own uniqueness. which means the transactional unit between a Jew and a Jew has a distinctive mark, which is a kinyan mashicha, and the transactional unit of a goy has a distinctive mark, which is, that's the nature of the pasuk. The pasuk is telling you that there's a different kinyan for each transactional unit. So therefore, therefore, it's not inclusive, it's exclusive as well. If it's exclusive as well, so then you can't learn kesef by a Jew. You can't learn kesef by a Jew. Because the pasuk is telling you simultaneously, just like by a Jew is telling you mashicha, but it's telling you that there's a contradistinction, a contrast between the transactional unit of a Jew and a Jew and a Jew and a guy. And therefore, just like the pasuk includes mashicha for a Jew, it excludes also kesef. That's what the pasuk is saying. That's why you can't derive kesef from an external source. However, once I derive kesef according to Rabbi Yochanan from an external source for a Jew, so then the exclusivity is that the Jew has kesef, Jew and Jew has kesef, and the guy and the Jew has a mashicha. But the pasuk is definitely telling you that each one is characterized by its own unique kinyan. That's what Taisa says. Now then Taisa raises the question about chalipin. Now if you say chalipin is by both, so that already Taisa's answer. Because chalipin is a different type of kinyan. It's conventional kinyan. Pasuk is not speaking about chalipin. But if you say that chalipin is only by a Jew, so you'll have a problem. You'll say maybe the characterization of the Jew and the Jew kinyan is chalipin. And the Jew and the guy is going to be Mashiach. Kesef, or Mashiach. Right, you have to work it on. But the Taisa says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it's speaking only about the kinyanim that take place, kinyanim or regilim, or matsuyim, kesef mashicha. It means that the pasuk really is referring to the commercial kinyanim. Within the kinyanim that take place through the act of commerce, commercial ones, so there's a distinction between the Jew and the guy. So that's why each unit has its own characterization. That's what Taisa says. Then the last part. V'od, the Rish says differently. V'od mefarish Rabbeinu Taim, Rabbi Yochanan, the mosque konos mi gufe de krok. The economy of the stan king the krok of mosque says. The kirsif, so does the kesef yiknin. So what does he say? So he says, the word Rabbi Yochanan, the whole problem was that Rabbi Yochanan derived kesef from hektish. So therefore, he asked the question of Rish Lakish, he should also derive kesef from hektish. But if I say Rabbi Yochanan derived it from there, but he just derived from the fact. Take a look at the Sugin Kedushin, you see. That what happens, that when is he kona by, when is the Jew kona from Hekdish, when is the person kona from Hekdish? He's kona from Hekdish when he gives the money. Because the halacha is, as long as there's no pidyon, there's no kinyan. So the kesef shall kinyan, the reason why there's no kinyan is because there's no pidyon. So the kesef shall pidyon creates the kinyan. So Rashi learns the kesef shall pidyon is really two kesef. So the kesef shall pidyon and the kesef shall kinyan there. So therefore we can derive it to other kinyan. From the Eger of Tavikinah. But the relearns know that over there it's a special halacha that the pigeon creates the kingdom. So if that's the case, by a hegit there's no concept of pigeon, so therefore there's no kingdom. There's a different kind of kingdom altogether. The kingdom is a pigeon.
Okay?
According to Rashi, you have to pay up the full amount of money. Why? Because it's a t'nai in the kinyan.
Right.
It's not chal until you pay up the full peron. But actually, what effectuates the kinyan is the kesef shakinyan. But according to the Ri, it's a separate halacha that tashlumin or pidyon rather in hegdish effectuates the kinyan. A separate process of pidyon. You can't learn from that. Okay. So at any rate, the reason why I went into this, and we're not learning a no now, it's also Gina Zav. There's a lot of difficulties, it's a complication. We just wanted one thing from Anoa. What is the principle of Anoa is that once there's smichas das on a kinyan, so therefore the kinyan is valid, and you have to pay me whatever you said you're going to pay me. Now the only thing the Torah says is that because I cheated somebody, that I'm not entitled to that money that I cheated him, and I have to repay him. That's why he has a schus mamon, only because the Torah says that cheated money, you're obligated to repay the guy. But the Torah doesn't say that. you'd be entitled to it, because the kinyan was mechayev him to pay the money. So that's the difference between that and between gezel. So the Gemara says that that the institution of an oz is only set up by a Jew. Al tano ishes amisa, ishes ocher. But by a guy, there's no such institution, so it's not gezel. Okay? Now take the Gemara's next question.
All right.
Now the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says that that's good according to the one that holds that you're not allowed to steal from a guy. So if you're not allowed to steal from a guy, so you have to tell me that there's no institution of a Noah that's set up. But if I hold that you're allowed to steal from a guy altogether, so then what are you telling me, that there's no institution of a Noah? I mean, it's absurd. You let us take the money, you let her go take the money out, be a dime. I gotta take it away from the guy. So what do you mean, you know, that cheat him? Right? It's an impossibility. That's the Gemara. So, okay. Now take Tasis. Interesting Tasis in this area. See what Tasis says. It's an unbelievable Tasis. Go. Of course, Havasa. That's not, it means to say that if I borrow money from somebody, so he gave me the money. Now the money that he gave me is definitely mine. Now what happens is that and that obligations devolve upon me to pay him back. But the money itself, the actual object that he gave me, is mine completely. So therefore, that's a different phenomenon. Now over there, that's not gezel either. That's not stealing. So that's why the pasuk says, "Lo v'rush of a lo yishalem." A wicked man borrows and doesn't pay back. See, it's not gezel because gezel means we take it out of his rishus. Over here, you took the money. The only thing is that you're not fulfilling your obligations to repay. So it's not gezel. But it's considered he's a rusher. Okay, he's a rusher because he philosophically.
Why should that be worth an neshama? What happens to
the what? That's the lach of novel on it. And that's a different kind of thing. Okay? So you have three separate categories. Go ahead. Taisa is a powerful question. It's again, how can you possibly say that Gezel Akam is mutter? It's an open Pasuk in the Torah. It says the opposite. Pasuk says, when the goy is kona, a Jew, right? That the Jew works for him. So the lach is that the Jew wants to redeem himself, so he can redeem himself according to the years. Let's say it's $100 a year, and there's 2 years left, so therefore it pays him $200, and he goes free, right? So why should you have to pay him the money? Just take off. What's this whole thing, the chishuv and konel? And it's speaking about a guy that's under your jurisdiction. So you see that a guy's under your jurisdiction, he paid X amount of dollars, so he paid $600, so he only got $400 worth of work, so you owe him two, right? So you see that you can't steal from a guy? Otherwise, what's the whole class is talking about, right? Open proof that a guy, you can't steal from a guy. What if they sent it? Go ahead. If I'm allowed to steal from them, what do I have to pay him back $200 for? So what if they say, Tyson's answer is an unbelievable answer. He says that that with the Zechul Hashem, you're not allowed to steal from a guy. Even according to the one that holds, you're allowed to steal from a guy, that's only where there's no Zechul Hashem. And Anastasia suggests there shouldn't be a chil Hashem. Either ba'alila means that you use trickery. See, or secretly, so he never figures out that you're really stealing from him. Alright? But if the guy catches on already, then you involve in the chil Hashem. Chil Hashem, you know what I do? Even if I hold Gez Lakham as mutter.
That's
not even the
question.
The problem is, it's very hard for me. It'd be very hard to get me to believe that pasuk is speaking about the makom sheyesh chil Hashem. I mean, the pasuk's talking about
the pasuk is a cover up.
The pasuk, yeah, that sounds a little bit absurd. The pasuk is talking about all those pasukim are talking about how much you pulled and evet. What's going on with chil Hashem? The pasuk is talking about with his makom sheyesh chil Hashem. How could Taisus get such an answer? What is he saying? Doesn't
well,
make any sense.
Would be
altogether.
For a person to read the
pasuk and say, "Yeah, that's a why would it be a good question." Shlomo asked the question, "Why would it be Chol Hashem? Chol Hashem is when you do an avera." But the answer is the Rambam says in the end that Chol Hashem is where you do an ethical imperfection. Also, if you're that's the special case he gives at the end. If you're over the if you're over Hilchus the halachas that are in the Sechta Avos also, it's ethics also. If you're over the Chol Hashem, if you're in a certain position, depends on the position you're in. So all of Klal Yisrael is in a certain position that they shouldn't violate, and ethically gezel is wrong. Matter of fact, if it's a question of Chil Hashem, so what's this whole system of working it out? The Chishuvim Koneiyu, 2 years, 3 years, exact. What kind of halacha is that? It doesn't make any sense. Just work it out in a way that's not a Chil Hashem, that's all. Can't be the pasuk speaking about a case of a Chil Hashem. That's for sure. If it's just a matter of full Hashem, the Torah doesn't have to spell out the details of the transaction. Just be creative yourself. Just work out there's no full Hashem, that's all. General rule. The answer is that why is Gezel Mutter? Gezel Akam. Is Gezel Akam Mutter because a guy doesn't have any monetary, there's no monetary system with regard to a guy? Or no, there's a separate halacha of Kibush Akam. That the Akam, that all the goyim should be under the jurisdiction of the Jews. So they should be under the jurisdiction of the Jews. So the reason why you're allowed to steal from the guy is not because the guy doesn't have, there's no monetary system for a guy. No, there is a monetary system, but there's a separate right, a heter of Gezel. So there's a separate heter of Gezel. But the phenomena of Gezel really is by a guy also, because you see a guy is involved in the monetary system just like being one guy to another guy. So there's no difference really. So therefore what Taisus is saying is like this. That the mandam of the whole Gezel Akam is mutter, he holds is a heter gzela, because to subdue the guy, in other words, it's halacha of subduing the guy. But the halacha is you can only subdue the guy in a case where there's no chilul Hashem. You say, then you have a right to then there's a heter, then there's a heter. But in a case where there's a chilul Hashem, you're not allowed to do it. So then what do you go by? The structured monetary system. In other words, the mangama that holds Gezel Akam is mutter, it means there's a matir on Gezel. There's a matir legozlo. It's not that he's out of the... Give you an example. Let's say, for instance, halacha is that a person that's a kofar beika, not the karas. You're allowed to be ma'abdo. You're allowed to be ma'abdim. If he's in a dangerous place, you don't save him. Always halacha. La'abdo, mitzvah la'abdo, la'sono. You're allowed to charge him ribbis. You're allowed to charge. So it's not a halacha that he's mufta from the institutions, from these institutions. There's a separate matir, you're allowed to do it to him. You see, it's a matir. So the mandam at all, the Gezel Akam's mutter, doesn't mean there's no monetary phenomena between you and the guy. Yeah, it's the same thing. But there's a separate matir that you're allowed to go over and be gozling. When are you allowed to do it? Only when there's no chilul Hashem. So the Pasuk is discussing what the inherent underlying monetary system is. You see? The Pasuk is discussing what the underlying monetary system is. This halacha is an extraneous halacha. That there's a heter to go steal from him. That heter doesn't apply wherever there's a chilul Hashem. So the Pasuk is telling you what the real underlying monetary system is. Well, the halacha is you're allowed to impoverish the guy. You're allowed to, you're permitted to impoverish him. But if there's a chilul Hashem, so you're not permitted to do it. Because the chilul Hashem is a greater consideration than the benefits of impoverishing him. Okay? In the beginning, when we first started learning the sugya, we said that there's a possibility, there should be a possibility to say that you need both, that the guy needs both. Why? Because you need both expressions of the commercial action. You need both expressions of the commercial action, which would be giving them money and also moving the animal. But you see, Taisa says there's actually a mandama like that. It's Taisa the muscle of the Yamat Moyes Kans from Shif Halamali. And that the Machin thought you need both. Well, with regard to Gezel Akam, we want to say it doesn't mean he has no rights of ownership. And that by Gezel Akam. No, he has rights of ownership. And if you steal from him, it's a stealing.
What?
The only thing that we wanted to say was that there's a matir. There's a separate matir to steal from a guy. The halacha is like this. He's not allowed to be konan of avodah zarah. So the Mishnah is giving him advice that if he's buying these silver pieces, and among them is an avodah zarah, so if you didn't do kesef yet, you only did meshicha, so the guy wasn't konan, right? So yahzi, you shouldn't be konan of the avodah zarah. However, if you already gave the kesef and the king was chal, so then you take the money of the avodah zarah and you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, because so you shouldn't be nana from Avodah Zarah. Okay. So the Gemara says yes. The Yamar Moas Kanas. The Gemara is trying to prove the opposite. That Moas are not Kanas. I'm sorry. Taisa asked my question. But Taisa says the Gemara tries to prove the opposite way over there in Avodah Zarah. Yeah. That's what comes to the conclusion. That this Mandama, we asked this question, wanted to maintain that both. You need both. Okay. But over here, the Gemara is showing you, the Gemara is trying to show that Moas is not Kanas. The opposite. Why? because it says that in Mishnah Samar's Moshach Yelachan Ali Amelach. So it says if when you gave money, so you did Mishicha also, so then you're stuck. Implication is that Mishicha, that Moses is not killing us from the Sefer. From the Sefer, the implication is that Moses is not killing us. Right? Because you have to do Mashiach also. So the Gemara is not trying to prove who's right, or Biachon or Shlokish, but this Mandama is his own Mandama. He holds that you have to do both. He just wants to show you that Mashiach is, that Moses alone is not good. That Moses alone is not good. So it's a Kasha on who? So it's a Kasha on Shlokish. If the Shlokish holds by a guy, Moses is good. So what's going to say? Hachab Mayaskinin. Shekiva loved Lodin Bedin Yisrael. So what does that mean? So really Moses is coming. But the guy made a stipulation. He said that what? That I'm willing to go according to your din. So therefore what happens?
Wait until Mashiach.
Right. So I tell you, the question is, how could a guy, what do you mean, Mekabel upon himself? It's not a game over here. It's a question of which king is effective. By a guy, if the king is effective as most, so what does he say? I'm going to be Mekabel, that is going to Mekabel upon myself, that I'm going to be needing like a Dina Yisrael. Yeah, but the fact is, you're a guy, and then there's only one king that's effective, and that's the king of most. And now you're going to say you're going to be turned like me. So what, you're not going to be turned to Mashiach? Well, Mashiach is not a Kenyan. Mashiach is not a Kenyan for you. You can't. Mekabel of a guy has a right to Mekabel upon himself. Where does Kabbalah really work? Kabbalah works with regard to Bezdin. Bezdin, in other words, a person can Mekabel upon himself. That he's the guy can Mekabel upon himself. Lodin b'dinei Yisrael. That he's willing to go according to what the courts, what the din Yisrael is. He has a right to do that because it's his money, and he has a right to go according to that din. But what does that do with kinyanim? Can't help you with kinyanim. Kinyanim are effective. Either they're effective or they're not effective. So he's going to say, no, I'm going to be capable to go like din Yisrael. So therefore, what's going to happen? So my kinyan kesef, which ordinarily would place it in my rishus, I'm not going to have. I'm going to have a kinyan mashiach. I mean, the whole idea is difficult. What's got to do with din Yisrael? The din Yisrael is that when a guy purchased from a Jew, what's the kinyan? The kinyan is kesef. That is the din Yisrael. That is the din Yisrael. What is the Gemara saying? So people love the din Yisrael. The question is an obvious one. Too obvious. The obvious, I found the Brisk Rebbe, it's the same question in his pamphlets and on Kutcher. He doesn't give any answer. See, but this is the din Yisrael. See, this is the din. This is the dinayim shepaskal on Torah. So what is the guy? It is the din Yisrael. This is the din Yisrael. I mean, unless you see, tell me a case. So the Gemara should have said the case is where he does the ma'isa kinyan of kesef, and he's ma'akiv the chalos. He suspends the chalos until Mashiach for some crazy reason. Yeah, that'd be good, but not to keep a love and b'nei Yisrael. The implication is that he's accepting the din. He's willing to go by the din Yisrael. What does that mean? He's willing to go by the din Yisrael. What kind of this is the din Yisrael. What is it? I'm saying it like this: that the problem is. Let's go back to the problem. See, we sort of gave an answer, but I don't know. There's no really full answer there. The question about what he's doing. The Gemara says it. The question is that why is it that whichever side of the coin the guy is on, whichever side of the transaction the guy is on, it's kesef. You see? It's kesef. Is this a separate halacha that whenever there's a guy involved in the transactional union, it's always kesef for some reason? I mean, you could say that way. But you could say differently. You could say like this. That really the pasuk is telling you that the kinyan of the guy is kesef. Miyara Nisecha is b'Mashicha. Mashicha is a kinyan for a Jew. But if a guy's kinyan is not, a guy's kinyan is kesef. You see? That's one halacha the pasuk's telling you. Then the pasuk, now you have a problem. Since the guy's kinyan is kesef and the Jew's kinyan is Mashicha, what do you do when you have a transaction with a guy? You're stuck. We have two different systems of kinyanim. So the answer is that one has to be subordinate, one person has to subordinate to the other person's system. That's the only solution. You have to subordinate to the other person's system. So the Torah says that you subordinate to the guy. You say, you subordinate to the guy. So therefore, whenever you have a transaction with a guy, whichever side of the transaction the guy is on makes no difference. Because you always subordinate to his system. You understand? So this explains why, no matter on which side the guy, because if you're going to tell me it's a matter of working it out, so then you should have said like this. The Jews can use Mashiach, the guys can use Kesa. Now, which is the more important part of the kingdom? Either Machna or the Kaina? So whichever way you're going to answer, that's the side that should determine the kingdom. But even then you'd have a problem, because the problem is, how could the other side be how could the other side do a kingdom anyway? It's not his kingdom, in other words. How could he possibly do it? Let's say the Kohen should determine. So the Kohen is a Jew, so therefore Mashiach should be the kingdom. Yeah, fine, but the guy, that's not his kingdom for a guy. So how's it going to work? You have a tremendous problem. It's almost inescapable. So the answer is that the halacha tells you that since there's two systems, there's Dine Yisrael and there's Dine Yaakov, halacha says that one side has to subordinate to the other side's system. That's the halacha. That when the two systems clash, so the halacha is that the one system subordinates, one person subordinates to the other person's system. That's the way the kingdom takes place. So the Jew actually is subordinating to the guy's kingdom. Now the Torah says, really, that the halacha is ordinarily, Okonami Adamisecha tells you two things: that a guy's kingdom is kesef. That's number one. Two, that when the Jew interacts with the guy, so he subordinates to his system. He subordinates to the guy's system. But if the guy really wants to, the guy could say, "No, I'm Michael. I'll subordinate to your system." If that's the case, so then kesef won't work. So then Mashiach will work. If he subordinates to the Jew system.
See?
According to the way we're learning now, you would not need, because the guy would not need kesef. In other words, what I'm saying is like this, that there are two separate systems. There's a Jew system of Kinyan, and then there's a system of Kinyan for guy. Two separate systems altogether. Question is, how are you going to make a transaction between these two parties, one from each system? There's only one solution. That the halachic system tells you, halacha says, that one person subordinates to the other person's system. And therefore, he comes under the realm of the other system. If you can accept that idea, you see? But that's the way it works.
In your theory, there's no difference.
What I'm saying is one thing, that there isn't any one kingdom between a guy and a Jew. Like we said before, we have to retract from that position. Let's say it's not the most smooth position either. Let's say we retract. It's a possibility, but let's say we retract from that position. And we say no. We look to view it individually. Jews have kinyan, guys don't have kinyan. That's certainly the simplest way to view it, right? Then the question arises, what happens when you have an interaction between a Jew and a guy? So what does the halacha do? What does the halacha system do? It's stuck. Can't work. So you could say, the only thing that there is to say is like this, that the halachic system tells you that one of the two parties, the halachic system tells you that one party has to function under the other party's system. So either the Jew has to function under the guy system, in this case, or the guy has to function under the Jew system. That's the only solution. There's no other solution. And that's the key. But the Torah says basically that the Jew is subordinate to the guy. So the halacha is that keep a love law in the din of Yisrael means that the guy accepted he wanted a subordinate to the Jew. That's the case Mashiach is going on. The only thing that's new about this is the thing of the concept of subordination. A king which I essentially as a Jew cannot do myself. But when I'm involved with somebody from another system, it could be effective because I'm included under his system. I subordinate to his system. I'm included under his system. Right? That is a
why would you say to this person?
A novel idea. What?
He has a right
to maintain his system. You have to subordinate to him. That's the question.
What
we're saying is that there's two types of kinyan. A kinyan can be yours because that's your nature, or a kinyan can become yours via subordination. There's a process of subordination through which a kinyan can be rendered yours. in the first verse it is. Oh, Conan Miyarami Sechah. Miyarami Sechah is Meshicha. But from a guy in Kesef. What does it mean from a guy in Kesef? It means like this. It means from a guy you have to use his key. That's what it means. It means, oh, Conan Miyarami Sechah. It means Miyarami Sechah is Meshicha. Oh, Miyarami Sechah is Meshicha. Now, there's two halachas that lie in that Miyarami Sechah is Meshicha. One halacha is that the guy's kinyan is defined as kesef. That's his kinyan. And secondly, whenever you're doing a kinyan with a guy, you have to subordinate to his system. That's the second halacha.